Hey, you're listening to Green Left Radio, and we're actually joined today by a journalist with Green Left for our first live interview for the program. And Isaac actually, especially this is actually a good sort of follow-up in terms of the discussion we actually had about wage growth, actually, in particularly talks about a kind of new sort of angle to this kind of question. But Isaac just recently produced an article titled Happier and Healthier, Why We Need a Four-Day Work Week. Good morning. Good morning, Isaac.
Good morning. How are you going?
So, I guess the kind of first question, I mean, to kind of start off, I guess, this kind of discussion, you argue, I guess, in your article, and this is sort of the main, the kind of opening sort of argument in the piece that you've kind of produced, but you basically point out that this idea of a traditional 9-to-5, 5-day work week is increasingly outdated. And I guess, what do you think is sort of the background and the context that sort of guides this sort of discussion that's currently happening around work?
Yeah, so I think work has changed a lot. The five-day work week isn't actually this long-standing natural thing that we've had. It's only fairly recent, kind of coming into common kind of use in the last 100 years or so. And what's happened recently is there's been this increase in casualized gig economy work. People are working kind of different kinds of hours. And then the other factor is the pandemic kind of really disrupting, you know, our kind of work patterns. Lots of people doing things like working from home or having to change up how they're working. So I think the whole thought process about like how we work, how does work fit into our lives has been something that's kind of been put on people's minds lately. So I think that's kind of the context of why there's this kind of growing discussion. But there's been a report recently released by the Australia Institute called Theft by Any Other Name, and that they found that across Australian workers, a whole bunch of people, like nearly 50 to 60% were unhappy with how much they're working. And out of those people, about half were complaining that they work too much, and the other half complaining that they don't work enough. So there's people who are in full-time roles, working 5 days a week, but working lots of overtime, potentially having, you know, a second job, a third job, which is becoming more and more common, and really feeling overworked, stressed, tired out. And then there's another group who are in these kind of casualized jobs. They're not getting regular hours, and they really want to have more job stability, more kind of regular shifts, like regular rosters, so that they can feel kind of, you know, financially stable, especially in the context of the cost of living crisis where prices are going up through the roof, you know, rent, mortgages, cost of food, petrol is all going up. It makes sense that people want to, you know, be able to work more to afford it. But then there's a whole, yeah, the other group of people who feel like they're working too much. So it's kind of about addressing that balance in some way. And one of the recommendations of that report was to continue the kind of historic trend of reducing the number of hours that we work a week. So if you look back, Industrial Revolution, people were working, you know, 12-hour days, 6 days a week, like having Sunday rest, and then, you know, started with like a half-day rest on Saturday, eventually fought for having a weekend and, you know, these kind of 8-hour days, like those campaigns that have consistently kind of brought work hours down. But now with, you know, these different kind of irregular work patterns, people are working, you know, more and more hours while other people are finding themselves underemployed or unemployed. So, yeah, it's kind of a way to address that balance and hopefully make people's lives better in the process.
Thanks, Isaac. I've got, it's Sue Bolton here, the other presenter. I've got another couple of questions to ask. One thing I'm interested in is that when the shorter working week campaign started to introduce win the 35-hour week, I was sort of involved in the tail end of that when I was working in a metal factory in Brisbane. And at that point, the AMFSU, as the union was called then, produced a booklet on the shorter working week, and they were sort of looking at when you reduce working hours for the shorter working week, you could create all of these jobs to address the issue of unemployment and create jobs for people. And then, you know, so we won that, and like we eventually won that. Some unions, not every union won that. Some unions won the 38-hour week, which wasn't as good. But what we've had happen in a number of industries, like construction, is that they've still got the 35-hour week, which results in a number of days off, but they actually work huge amounts of overtime. And probably construction isn't the only union, but it's one of the unions. So they get the benefit of some clear days off delineated, so some recreation, but because of the massive overtime, there's no actual creation of extra jobs as a result of it. I was just wondering if you might be able to comment, or you know, if you're aware, or if you in your research about this issue, you know, if about the question of massive overtime cancelling out, in a sense, the benefits of the shorter working week. And I imagine by 4-day week, you're talking about a 32-hour week. Is that right?
Just to clarify, the 4-day week is working one less day and not working extra hours on the other days. You're working, you know, less hours for the whole week. Overtime is a massive problem. That's one of the things that was cited as by these people who have these kind of full-time positions. I think the report was finding it was generally older workers working overtime, like loads of hours of overtime, whereas there's a bunch of people who are unemployed and underemployed. And I think it's not going to be just this magic switch where you say, okay, we've got a 4-day work week now, and that's going to solve the problems. There's a whole other bunch of policy kind of responses that was recommended in this Australia Institute report as well, including kind of putting limits on overtime, so not letting, you know, employers kind of get their workers to work, you know, all these extra hours every week. Limiting overtime is an important factor of that. And then the other recommendations they had was including a kind of advanced rosters, so you kind of know when you're going to be working ahead of time, reducing casualization, having better access to leave, and then, yeah, the shorter working hours. So it's going to have to be a combination of all those factors. And I think... It's the other thing is that we can't just let kind of the few companies who are trialing these 4-day work weeks dictate the terms of what that will mean. It has to be a kind of a grassroots campaign from workers to make sure that this isn't just a way to increase productivity for the bosses, but actually to make workers' lives better, which is kind of like the whole point of this transition to working less, at least for workers and from our perspective.
Well, very, very important, and also especially shorter working week with no cut in pay. I wanted to just ask you one thing, which is about the benefits of the 4-day working week. What have the results of some of the trials that have been adopted shown about the benefits? I know in various jobs I've been in where there's been a 35-hour week and a clear day off a fortnight, workers have often said to me the best thing the union ever won was the day off every fortnight, the 35-hour week, because wage increases get gobbled up by inflation, et cetera. And so, whereas the day off is a clear thing. So what would you say about the benefits of the 4-day week?
Yeah, so there's been a lot of different kind of trials and studies in various countries. In November, it was reported that Unilever ANZ is trialing a 4-day work week in Australia after having a successful kind of 18-month trial in New Zealand. So, that was... a reduction to 4 days work without a reduction in wages. And they found a lot of benefits. I guess on one side, they found that productivity actually increased and they didn't have any drop in revenue and stuff. So it worked out for the company. But more importantly for the workers, they reported a feeling a better work-life balance, feeling a lot less stressed, and actually reported feelings of strength and vigor at work. So it obviously makes people feel, happier at work and also kind of a happier with their work, how work is fitting into their lives in general. Another experiment in Iceland, which was initiated after campaigning by trade unions, found that the workers reported that were happier and healthier. So I'll just kind of, it's not just it feels good to have days off, but actually health benefits from feeling less stress and actually having time to, do things like go to the doctor or go to the dentist or, exercise, all these other benefits that accrue. And then it also gives you more time to spend doing, kind of the things that we actually want to do in our lives that are more fulfilling. So spending time with, friends and family, doing things like, hobbies, learning an instrument or reading or, just getting household activities done. One study found that one of the benefits was that unpaid kind of domestic work, which at the moment falls overwhelmingly on women, it was easier to kind of create a balance in a household between men and women doing work when there's actually more time at home. So that's another good factor. That work-life balance in pretty much all the studies that I looked at was a massive success, and the reported feelings of, feeling much kind of more happier and satisfied. I mean, I'm sure it's kind of easy to imagine if you're working less, feeling a bit happier. I think that's something that we probably all relate to and while not actually feeling the impacts of that in terms of not losing any pay and still kind of having a secure job, but still having time to actually pursue things that you want to pursue and, deal with the kind of other aspects of life that need time devoted to them. For example, workers who were on the 4-day work week didn't need to take as many sick days, didn't need to take other days off because they were already able to kind of do things that they needed to get done in that extra day extra day off, while still having those leave options available as well, is really important. So yeah, it's kind of a first step towards a complete reimagining of work. It seems kind of radical to some people, but it's only I would say it's not too radical of a proposal. It's just actually something that makes sense in our current kind of context.
Well, that's a good sort of lead into, our kind of next kind of question, because I guess probably one of the I'll just sort of add a bit of a quick comment here to the question, because I think one of the things about this whole discussion about the 4-day working week is probably one of the dynamics of the capitalist system is that actually as capitalism has sort of grown and actually developed, the productivity of labour has actually increased quite significantly, especially with technological kind of advancements. In fact, we're kind of living in a time where technology has actually made things more convenient and more productive than we've ever had than we've ever had in history, especially when you compare, the nature of work in the early 20th century to where we are kind of now. But I guess that kind of flows in, why do you think that capitalists don't want to necessarily implement a 4-day work, and why is it that workers will have to campaign for it to make it a reality? And of course, I just want to sort of add this, I thought would make this, I guess, the kind of final kind of question in terms of, in terms of concluding the interview, especially making time for the rest of the program.
Yeah, so, that's definitely a good point about technology making, work more efficient and more productive. So you look back to, what what Karl Marx wrote about what kind of in wages, prices, and profit, what commodities actually are valued at, and what commodities are actually worth. It's about how much social labor goes into their creation. So if you have new technology that makes things easier to produce, then their value kind of goes down over time. So we have a lot of technological advances in the last couple hundred years that have made certain things really easy to do and need a lot less kind of, you know, human labor to be involved because we've got, you know, machines that can do things, and we've worked out more efficient, better systems. And you'd think, oh, we've got all these advantages. That means we can work less because, you know, that machine's going to do half the work. But people are still working all these hours. If you look back to, like, early 1900s, there's a lot of predictions about in the year 2000, we'll only be working like 5 hours a week because of technology. And that hasn't panned out. And the main reason for that is that all these benefits of this productivity aren't going towards making lives better or like making sure there's no one hungry and there's no one homeless. Like that's stuff that we have the capability to do. But all of those benefits are just going towards the profits of big businesses because they can kind of squeeze out more and more productivity from each worker. They can make more and more money and then, you know, continue accumulating profits. So that's kind of that's kind of a reason, I guess, for kind of hesitation with a 4-day work week is capitalists see it as like, well, why would I give you another day off when I can kind of use that extra time to squeeze more money out of you, more profit and more work. And I think that's going to be something that they're not going to give up easily. Because it's like almost a way of rethinking of like, why are we working? We're not just working to produce as much profit as possible, which is what the capitalists want. But it makes people think, why am I, what role does work have in my life? And work, it should be a way, like how we create what we need for society and create what we need for people, in an ecologically kind of sound way. And that's completely a contradiction with the capitalist way of thinking. So I think there's going to be a lot of resistance from the capitalists. Some businesses seem to be quite like in favor of this. Like I think a lot of white collar kind of jobs, they kind of see it as like a way to get people like people who want to work for them. Like we've seen it with the working from homes side of things where some big companies have tried to bring their workers back into the office, and the workers have said, no, actually, I want to work from home, and they've moved to another company or whatever. But that's only in these kind of white collar, you know, tech jobs and, you know, those kind of, those jobs like that. Whereas in industries where it's, more blue collar, working class kind of roles, there hasn't been as much of movement on this, from businesses. So I don't think we can just kind of say, oh, there's a couple of businesses doing trials, so it'll happen kind of inevitably. Because all the other wins historically have come from workers organizing to demand these changes. So if we want to actually win this, it will require, you know, unions to be centrally involved and combining with, you know, grassroots campaigning from activists and campaigners on the streets. Because if it's directed from the top down, it's going to be set up to, you know, advantage the bosses, whereas we actually want it to be something that makes workers' lives better. The other kind of aspect is that if the unions really did take on this campaign for a 4-day work week, I think it could help reinvigorate the union movement. I think a lot of workers who are not involved in their unions who would see this as a really kind of tangible kind of campaign that they can imagine, you know, getting on board with and joining. So it could potentially be, you know, a reinvigorating campaign for the union movement, which is, as we know, has been losing momentum and losing kind of numbers over the last few decades. So yeah, I think it's high time for some change and some wins. And hopefully, if we do take on this kind of 4-day work week campaign as a society, it can actually be a kind of jumping off point for more, better, even more radical change in the future going forward.
All right. Well, thank you very much for that, Isaac. And just for our listeners, you can actually read Isaac's article, and it's titled Happy and Healthier, Why We Need a 4-Day Work Week. And, yeah, you can read that online on greenleft.org.au. But, yeah, thank you again for joining us, Isaac.
Thanks for having me.
All right. I'm just going to go play a quick announcement, and we just have a bit of time to just quickly go through the Green Left Access Card. That probably went a bit over time, but I think, you know, it was a good and informative kind of discussion. You're listening to Green Left Radio.